Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Face Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. Guys, speak fast because we've got a lot to cover. Get the stopwatches out. We were just trying to figure out what we wanted to open the show with, and there's so many things that we could talk about. But fortunately, Miguel Cabrera kind of cleared that up with two home runs, three away from 500. Tigers beating the teams that they need to beat, Keith.
Yeah, absolutely, JC. And you know what? What I saw from those swings last night from Cabrera, Rich, is that they were typical, prototypical Miguel Cabrera home run. It looked like you turned back the clock 5 or 6 years. Both not massive blasts, but nice, power swings. Opposite field, right field home run, where his power stroke is.
Right.
That was really good to see. Three away, he could get it today.
Oh my! I mean, Keith, you're absolutely right. That's vintage Miguel Cabrera right there, right center field. When he's at his best, that's his power alley. That's he's hitting balls to there. And to get two there, it was amazing to see. And hopefully now the crowds at Comerica Park just come out in droves, because this weekend might be even more exciting than what they've seen already.
The crowds have been pretty big at Comerica recently anyways. They've been averaging over 30,000 fans
No, they haven't?
Oh, yes, they have, at least on the weekends.
Okay, all right. I mean, the numbers have been so low, they've opened up their private club to everybody who walks in the building, yeah. JC.
Well, when I was watching last weekend on television, there was a ton of fans there. So,
That's good to see. And you know what? Rich and I were talking off air, JC. Today's the Major League Baseball trade deadline, 4
mm-hmm.
o'clock today.
Yeah.
And, Rich was saying, do you think they'll trade Jonathan Scope? I sure as hell hope not. I don't think they will. I don't know.
With what's happened in the last couple of days, all the trades that were made yesterday,
and there's
a couple teams that need to get back in there. Like, you know, I was kind of hoping Scherzer would go to the Giants. Instead, the Dodgers get him and the other
and
kid.
Trey Turner. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I guess they're counting that they're not going to qualify Corey Seager. That's what the Dodgers are thinking.
Right.
So, I mean, the Nationals got fleeced worst than the Tigers did when we had that fire sale a few years ago,
right,
when everybody went out the door. At least Dombrowski got some players.
Right.
I don't even know. You know, if I'm a Nationals fan, I am going to go burn down the building.
Right.
They've blown up the team.
Yeah. Yeah, your San Francisco Giants, though, need to counter move now.
Yeah, they do. They need a bat and they need an arm. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised to see Craig Kimbrell go there.
Yep.
They probably need a starter as well. But they've been knocking the Dodgers around all year long.
They've had their number.
There's another team out there, folks. The San Diego Padres are going to do something too. Watch out for
those three teams. And I mean, it's crazy out there right now.
There's an arms race and it is wild out west.
Yeah. So the Tigers are in a good position.
Yes.
With a couple of guys, you know, like you said. I don't want to see him deal, but when you're getting the better half of the deal, I mean, none of those guys are untradeable.
I agree.
You know, the Boyds, the Scopes.
Right.
You just got to get the right package.
I get that. I just that they've really kind of turned the corner, and I buy into what Al Avila's saying. We're not rebuilding anymore. We're building. You know what? If you're building, don't trade Jonathan Scope. Sign him today to a 2-year extension. Show me.
Well, yeah. You're from Missouri.
They'll sign him at 420 if they haven't traded him for, you know.
If they don't get their shortstop of the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Guys, going back quickly to Miguel Cabrera, you know what I saw in Cabrera last night that I haven't seen in a long time, and not just the power, a little bit of cockiness. I haven't seen that in years where he has gotten to the plate and he's Miguel Cabrera. Try to get me out.
Yeah, right.
You know, that has been the thing that's been missing the most, Keith. The rock-solid confidence of, I am the biggest, baddest cat in town, and you are either going to have to pitch to me or you're walking me.
And, you know, when you know it's vintage Miguel Cabrera's when he's jumping on the first pitch, too. Throw me a first pitch strike. Go ahead. Watch it go.
You want to groove me a fastball?
Yep,
you're going to pay for it.
You're right about that, the confidence and cockiness.
And I think some of that was due to the injuries, the thing that he's been going through the last couple of years, he's been relatively healthy this year, and he has performed really much better than I thought he would. And it's okay. Hey, I'll take it.
Winning,
I'll take all the pro.
Go ahead. Slide some money in there.
Right. And, but, man, it's a cool thing to see right now. And, again, Tiger fans need to get down there to the ballpark because, again, a chance to see one of your Tiger players get to the 500 home run mark, it's something you may never see again the rest of your life.
He got 59 games to get 61 hits.
Yeah.
Now, if Miguel is that Miguel for the rest of the year, I wouldn't bet against him.
I would not either. No, I would not either. It's tough sledding to get there, but the way he's hitting the ball lately, don't count him out.
And the one last thing about Cabrera, because we've got to jam a lot of stuff in today, is, you know, he's always been a good teammate. Everybody's always said that. But these guys love him.
Yes.
Everybody on that bench is in love with Cabrera, from A.J. Hinch the way down to the bullpen coach.
That's right.
And that is another factor here, Rich, and they're winning.
Yeah, and
winning,
I love it.
Helps, man.
The Akil Badus, the young guys come in after they're at bat, they come and sit next to him and start putting a bug in his ear.
Yeah.
This is what I saw. What did you see? You know, they're just trying to gather as much information from him as possible.
Yeah,
it was nice to see Michael Fulmer yet again come back from an injury last night.
He looks 6'2", so skinny.
He, you know, 15 pitches, 3 strikeouts, game over. Let's move on.
Nice
to see.
We do need to move on. We've got so many things going on. The Pistons had their draft. The Wings have been doing a lot in free agency. But Rich, we've got to recap the record-setting Asabo River Canoe Marathon from last Saturday. We thought it would be a fast race. Didn't think it would be the fastest race in history.
Unbelievable what Jordan Wakely and Matt Mearsman did. They took a Wes Dean and Wes Willoughby were leading the first 2 hours into Wakely Bridge. Just below Wakely Bridge, Wes Dean and his team, they took a feed, and that's when Jordan Wakely and Matt Mearsman saw their opportunity. They had been riding them for the first 2 hours and took off. And never to be seen again, as they absolutely started on record pace into Mayo Dam and then broke record after record. Looking at from the Facebook page of the Asabo River Canoe Marathon, over 100 different records were set in this race. Last Saturday. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they had perfect conditions.
Unbelievable.
High water. A downstream breeze and
full moon.
Just a lot of interesting stuff in the race. I was shocked, to be honest with you, when I woke up the next morning and found out how much farther they had gotten from Wes Dean and a couple of the other teams that really, Mike Davis never really challenged, a couple of teams that we really thought, you know, Rich, you had thought we might have like a four-team finish.
Yeah, I thought there would be a pack of them, and that didn't materialize.
It didn't happen, yeah.
It did kind of through, you know, fourth, fifth, and those guys, but it didn't with that lead group because Jordan Wakely and Matt Mearsman just, they dominated that race. There's no doubt about it.
No.
And some of our other, you know, Jeff Koca, Naomi Koca, they got in the top 20. They were 19th.
That was a great finish by that team.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
Yeah, but the mixed team that won, by far and away the fastest time for a mixed team.
Oh, they were Rich Loth and Mary Schlimmer, 14 hours, 44 minutes.
That's crazy. Remember we were talking about, and Koca had said no mixed team had ever busted the 15-hour mark before, and they did it by 20 minutes.
Yeah. And Brett Stockton, after being gone for 29 years, finished eighth overall with a 14:26. Great story
14:26 could have run a ton of these races. Yeah.
Yes. Wes Dean and Wes Willoughby got second place, and they had the fourth fastest marathon in the history of the race.
Well, we were talking to Kolka about that because he had the fourth fastest race up to that, finishing in second place.
Right.
But at least they were fit. I mean, he finished right behind that race. I mean, Wes Dean was, what, nine minutes?
Oh, they were like 13
minutes. 13
minutes
behind.
Yeah.
Hey,
one thing I wanted to ask you, Rich, you may know or may not, and I don't mean to put you on the spot.
It's okay.
Those Tristan sisters.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about them. They got about, seemed like halfway down the road, and I couldn't get an explanation of what happened.
They were leading the women's division of the race early in the race.
Right.
They got caught behind Mayo. They were the second or third team into Mayo. And when they portaged.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of shocked. And then they end up dropping just below the Mayo Dam to, like, McKinley Bridge right around
the
net.
They dropped out of the race.
Yes, they do, for the first time ever that they have ever raced that they dropped out.
Illness,
and it just, and it just, it can happen to the best of them, but that's the first time ever that they've ever dropped.
Oh,
so, yeah, they were
a massive cramp in your
bicep
cramp. You can't lift the paddle.
Back freezes, all kinds of things.
Yeah, no,
Absolutely.
That's why I have never paddled in this.
Only 10 boats didn't finish.
Yeah,
it was a pretty good.
Of the 83, 73 finished the finish line in Oscoda. That's an amazing percentage.
Did Dr. Dean finish?
They made it all the way to Foot Dam.
Oh.
Well, Foot Dam, and they had some issues on Foot Pond, and
that's too bad.
Yeah, it was really, really a bummer for those guys.
Yeah.
But they gave it a heck of a try. I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in it again next year.
Another great race in the city of Grayling put on a really good show for all those visitors coming to town, eh?
Oh,
you know, you've talked to J-Bo, and, he's sold. I think he was more sold to actually talking to Paul Wood. I said, did you get the restraining order from Paul Wood? did he say something?
Paul was in a good mood. He was talking about
how can you not be in a good mood? The weather blew out, and the race went off without a hitch, and we have brand new champions. It'll be now interesting, not that we're going to spend any more time talking about it, but the Canadian team should be back in full force next year.
Whoa.
So then you're going to have Tribault and Lajoie are probably going
to century mark of 100 teams is probably in serious jeopardy next year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And another one in the books, and one that'll go at the very top of the record books. Let's see where we're at. You know what? Let's take a quick break right now. I know it's a little early in the show, but we've got so much to cover, including a thrilling, truly thrilling interview that we had with Kevin Van Dam. Keith and I talked to the world's greatest professional fisherman, and you can have the opportunity to fish with Kevin Van Dam right here in Traverse City. We'll tell you how when we return here on Friday Face Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. We are back here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio live with Keith, Gabe, and Rich Calkins. And the Pistons got their man. Cade Cunningham said all the right things, looked the part. So I'm very happy. By far and away, they got the best player in the draft. It's funny. I was listening to some people recapping it and everything else, and for the most part, people are like, yeah, he's a good player, but I don't see this improving the Pistons very much. Now, that is the general consensus. Like, Vegas has already put out their new odds, and the Pistons are like the third worst bet to make it out of the conference.
Where's my FanDuel app?
Exactly.
I'm betting
you
on
you can bet that at Odawa Casino at the Sports Cage. So we'll take a long, hard look at that. I think with what they put in place this year, and you add that, no, I don't think they're going to win the NBA championship next year, but I truly believe they will make the playoffs.
I do too.
And
maybe
win a round in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
We will see what happens when we start getting into summer ball and all those cool things.
Right.
Because most of those kids are going to play, Rich, because they're all first and second year players.
And that's what he said. He's like, he can't wait to get to summer ball. By the way, I love the nicknames coming out of it. Motorcade. He's in the Motor City today. Motorcade. I love it.
Yeah.
I
mean, we just talked about Tigers a little bit ago. We're just talking about the Pistons now. We're talking about jumping on the bandwagon of some of these teams after a lot of bad years, And, we haven't even mentioned the Wings or the Lions who started training camp today, JC. Things are looking up in for our Detroit teams.
I believe so. And we'll stay in basketball for a couple of minutes. So the draft kind of went as at least the top players did. As I told you guys off air, I think the Warriors made a huge mistake by not taking Davion Mitchell from Baylor. I think that guy is going to be the next Russell Westbrook, who in turn gets dealt to the Los Angeles Lakers in what I believe is one of the worst trades in NBA history. I mean, I cannot believe that the Lakers that gave up that much. Look,
and you're a big fan of Russell Westbrook.
Fan
he
of
went
Russell
to
Westbrook.
UCLA.
Yeah, I know. And he has turned into, nobody would have foreseen, other than maybe Troy Weaver, who drafted him very much higher than anybody ever thought in that draft. He has turned into one of the most, I think Magic Johnson said, the most dynamic player in the NBA. Nobody works harder than him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get your money's worth. If you go see a game and Russell Westbrook's on the floor, you're going to get your money's worth. You're not going to get cheated in effort, ever.
You know, Kuzma's been kind of a disappointment. I get that. Maybe a change of scenery will work for him. KCP has been a pretty good player for the Lakers. He's done everything that they needed him to do. He's priced right. But throwing in Montrezl Harrell in that deal and the 22nd pick in the draft, I just think the cost is way too much. Rich, as you pointed out, they've got five guys signed on the team, and they're $20 million below the salary cap with just those five players.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, good luck filling out the rest of that roster because
G League stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to get some guys, you know, that want to play with LeBron who are at the back end of their career, but are they, you know, look what happened with Andre Drummond. That was a disastrous move. Just did not perform well with the Lakers. And so you're taking chances on guys. And, you know, Westbrook, knock on wood, has never been seriously injured. But we saw LeBron injured for a while, which has never really happened to him. But he's getting, what is he, 38 now?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is, you know, some people call him paper mache. He needed Montrezl Harrell. He needed Andre Drummond to support him. And now Harrell's gone, and Drummond is a shell of what he was. Or maybe he just can't play at that highest level when you need him to be.
Right.
He was a great player for the Pistons, but the Pistons stunk.
That was my concern for Andre Drummond, is that, right, he'd been playing with the Pistons, a lot of bad teams, and then all of a sudden he's thrown in there expecting to win a world championship. Well, the expectation level just rose a whole lot more, and I wasn't sure if Andre Drummond was ready for that. And his game, he's kind of a lane clogger. And now, those guys, LeBron, Davis, they like it wide open, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, and they're going to need some shooters because – Russell Westbrook, you know, was it last year or the year before, there were some rumors that Westbrook might get traded to the Pistons because Troy Weaver loved him so much. And my son Nick is the one that put, Dad, he is the worst shooting guard in the history of the NBA.
He takes a lot of shots.
takes a lot of shots and shoots 32% from the floor and 22% from three-point.
Yeah.
That's disaster for this day's NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes up for it with, you know, get 10 rebounds and a lot of assists and everything else he brings to you. But in today's NBA, you've got to have the right kind of team around him to work that out. And LeBron is not a great outside shooter. I mean, almost said shoot.
Anthony Davis
is the best of those three outside shooters.
Westbrook averaged a triple-double this year, though. His numbers are
staggering. Four out of the last 5 years.
22.2 points a game, 11.7 assists, and 11.5 rebounds.
He'll out-rebound.
Yeah,
he'll out-rebound Anthony Davis.
Oh, he will. Absolutely. Yeah, Anthony Davis doesn't want anywhere near that basket at all. But Russell Westbrook's not afraid to go down low, battle the bigs.
Well, he played with James Harden, so he had to figure out a way to get a ball.
Let's talk about the Pistons again, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you like the second-round pick?
Michigan,
Isaiah Livers, huh?
Yeah. He's going to have trouble making the team because they got a lot of young.
Yeah.
And Garza, you know, at where they got him, I think that it's a sound move because that guy
was worth
a
shot.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That late in the draft, I wasn't sure he was going to get drafted, but why not? Why not give him a shot? And Big Perkins on ESPN last night absolutely loved it because he likes fellow big men, of course. He's a big dude. So he just thought that was a great pickup.
Well, hopefully he can improve his foot speed because that's the biggest knock on him is that he's just slow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does not fit your stereotypical NBA player.
But he can shoot it.
Yep.
And, you know, if he can turn himself into a little bit more of a rough-and-tumble player, you might see him with an NBA career. Look at Miles Plumlee.
I was going to say, by the way, they traded Plumlee. Did you see that?
No.
They traded Plumlee in a draft pick. They're unloading salary.
Yeah, they opened up some salary space by getting rid of Plumlee.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Yes, I know. I am too, because I thought,
I mean,
you know,
what was he making?
I was surprised.
They couldn't have been making even $10 million.
I think it was around eight somewhere per year, but yeah.
They traded the 37th pick and Plumlee for the 57th pick?
Yeah.
The dump salary?
Well, because I saw that, I'm like, that makes zero sense.
Well, no, they, you know, what did they have? Four picks total. I told you guys there's no way they were going to take all those picks because they don't have, they have roster decisions to make already.
That's right.
So that's kind of a surprising move, though. I think Plumlee was one of the just a find.
He was a revelation.
Yeah,
that team.
He was a perfect fit for that team at that time.
Yeah. So we'll see how they're going to combat that. But yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see when this camp opens up and what those guys are doing in summer ball. And Cade, don't let me down, brother.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward. Did you see the one that Keon Johnson from Tennessee? He went to the Knicks in the second round. Kid has a 48-inch vertical leap.
Oh, my Lord.
48-inch. That was a combine record for the NBA, which is nothing but athletes, of course.
Yeah, no doubt.
They had videotape of it on the coverage last night. 4 feet the guy can jump. And it's just, that's unbelievable that a human can do that.
Keith? Give us your hockey.
Well, pretty good week for the Red Wings, all things considered.
I never heard any of those guys.
No. That's okay. That's okay. You know, first of all, their first three picks of the draft last week, a 6'4 defenseman, a 6'6 goaltender, and a 6'3 defenseman. Wings are going to get better. Not right away, but these guys are coming. And then free agency comes along. They lose. Let's talk about who they lost
first. Glendening, yeah.
Luke Glendening to Dallas. Darren Helm to the Colorado Avalanche. They're two best penalty killers up front. So it's going to be interesting to see who's going to fill those voids, especially key faceoffs. Luke Glendening was a key faceoff guy. But they stayed.
Hey, it was such a disappointment, really, overall for his career.
Glendening?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so at all. This guy was a walk-on at Michigan. He wound up playing 4 years there and captain of the team, and he was undrafted. The Wings signed him as an undrafted free agent, and he helped Grand Rapids win a Calder Cup,
yep.
And then came to Detroit and became an alternate captain.
Why didn't they sign him then?
I think it's the... I don't know.
You're the one that has all the confidence in the world in Steve Yzerman.
Paul and I were talking on the riverbanks on Saturday. We both wanted him to re-sign Luke Glendening. You can't replace what he brings to you. So they didn't do that, but they signed... they traded for the goaltender Nedeljkovic, and they traded for the defenseman Nick Leddy. But the guys they signed as free agents, one kid Jordan Osterley, another kid from Dearborn Divine Child. There are two athletes from Dearborn Divine Child playing two different sports in Detroit now. Harry Koss for the Tigers, Jordan Osterley now a defenseman, pretty good depth defenseman, a third pair guy I think, and the guy I really like, a brilliant signing. Was his center played for the Chicago Blackhawks last year, Pius Suter.
Suter, yeah.
A Swiss kid who scored a hat trick against Detroit last year, by the way. But he got a lot of votes for the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year. The Blackhawks didn't qualify him, but he is going to be the perfect guy to slide in as the number two center behind Dylan Larkin.
Blackhawks made a ton of moves.
I am surprised as well that they didn't, JC. This is a really good kid. I think he's going to fit in nicely with Detroit. Now you got Larkin and Suter. They're 1-2, and then you can bring in the big kid Rasmussen and Joe Valeno. I mean, they're getting stronger down the middle, which you have to be to compete in the NHL. Good moves all around by Steve Yzerman, and he's not done yet.
I was going to say, isn't there going to be another round coming, Keith, with some salary cap situations?
He's got some restricted free agents to sign, but he's got a lot of money to spend. And as Paul was saying when we were talking privately again, a lot of teams are going to face that cap compliance issue that they have to be on when the season starts. They're going to have to dump some key players, and the Wings are going to have money to go get some of these guys, or maybe one or two key guys. Steve Yzerman is not done building yet. I like the Tigers. They're not rebuilding. They're building, just like the Tigers.
Well, as long as we are talking about the Tigers and the Pistons and the Red Wings, we got to fit in the Lions, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Lions opened up training camp. Not a lot of news out of training camp. Other
Which is
than
good news, kind of.
Well, you know, it's really all going to hinge on how the offense can perform.
Jared
is this
Goff.
Is this offensive line going to provide enough protection for Jared Goff to go back to what he was a couple years ago? You know, because the Rams' O-line was not that great last year, and it's going to be interesting to see those comparisons between how Goff performs behind a better offensive line than I'm afraid Matt Stafford is getting an inferior O-line and lost his best running back already.
Right.
There's going to be so much pressure on the Rams.
Yeah, Akers tore his Achilles there early in a workout, and so, right, their number one running back is gone now. But that's what I think the Lions are going to rely on is their running game.
Yep.
You know, they got a couple of the stable of decent running backs, and I think they're going to hand the ball, do a lot of play action. Because
they're going to throw the ball to the tight end.
Tight end, absolutely, because wide receiver depth isn't all that great. No big names out there at all anymore with no Galladay and anything like that. But I think they'll run the ball, be real conservative, take as much time off the clock, and then hope that the defense is much improved this year, because obviously the last couple of years they have been atrocious.
Yeah. The I think we'll see some really good play out of Okuda. I think the D-line will be fine. It's all going to really depend on the rest of the defensive backfield, and especially the linebackers.
Right.
That is the biggest question mark of this football team,
right?
Going back to Goff, just very briefly, you know, he is super accurate, especially short and mid-range passes. So that might really help these brand-new receivers. When the ball hits you right in your hands in stride, that's what Goff did extremely well in college. That's why he was the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
And he could throw it deep, but his accuracy on short and mid-range passes is phenomenal.
Right.
And Eric Ebron is gone, so when you hit a guy in the hands, you should catch it, right?
That's, yeah.
JC, what's the over-under?
Five.
Five or five and a half? Five?
Yeah.
I see a lot of prognostic cases out there not giving the Lions a chance to win five games this year.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is back in the division, so that doesn't bode. I mean, that's probably two losses. Although the Lions usually play the Packers
pretty tough one of the two times.
You know, the division is going to be very interesting. We'll see how quickly Justin Fields can starts quarterbacking in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many intriguing questions from the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, I would look out for the Packers, man. You know, when he and who's his wideout, Adams.
Oh, Adams,
right?
Yeah, Devontae Adams.
When they
Adams.
Posted those pictures of Jordan and Pippen, fist bumping from the Last Dance.
Yeah.
It is the Last Dance for Rodgers, unless they win a Super Bowl and then maybe he comes back. But
he has another press conference similar to the one he had earlier this week when he was telling them, literally, I mean, he just went scorched earth, and he said, look, it's not like Green Bay is a vacation destination. We know why players come here. It's to play with me. So everyone got a cup of ego from Aaron Rodgers there and enjoyed that.
Go ahead.
Give him a pink tutu. He's such a diva, for God's sakes. I'm sick of that guy.
He's a great quarterback. He's an amazing talent. But, man, I like Keith.
Oh,
I just get tired of him. And
he rattled off all these guys, including T.J. Lang and Charles Woodson.
Charles
and everything
Woodson,
else. Yes. But you know what? Tom Brady used to change his salary to keep players around. Aaron Rodgers never did it.
Never heard that. No, he wants to be top dog
all
the time.
T.J. Lang is heading out the door. Well, we'll see you, T.J. I've got my $32 million.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, to do some team building, maybe you have to make some concessions. And Aaron has never done that.
No.
But the Packers should have a pretty damn good football.
Oh, they're going to have a really – Rashawn Gary, I'm really impressed on the defensive side how well he came on in the second half of last season. That kid looks like the former Michigan product is going to be the real deal.
I'm just – you know, if the Niners can stay healthy, I would watch out for them.
Yeah,
that's
another great.
Garoppolo stays healthy. I mean, they had four all pros on defense out. Just a mass unit of a football team, and they still won
a number
of football games that they shouldn't have. That's why everybody likes Saleh so much as a coach. So we'll see with if they get all their all pros back and they can stay healthy throughout the year. I already bet them on their chances to win the Super Bowl at 1,100.
Wow.
So, you know, everybody, the Bucs look great. But they had no injuries last year. Generally speaking, that doesn't happen 2 years in a row in the NFL.
Right.
So, everything's a crapshoot, but football is around the corner, and we didn't even get to Michigan or Michigan State yet. However, camp hasn't opened quite yet.
We'll get to them. We'll get to them.
What we're going to get to next is our interview with Kevin Van Dam. So join us here. Stay tuned on Friday Face-Off, brought to us by O'Dowd Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, for that conversation with Kevin Van Dam here on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Welcome back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne and Keith Gave in studio. We pre-recorded an interview. We've got the great Kevin Van Dam on the phone with us. Kevin has a fantastic partnership coming up with Kubota that gives you the opportunity to fish with the great Kevin Van Dam right here in Traverse City. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, man. It's pretty exciting promotion, so I'm looking forward to it. Traverse City is one of my favorite places on the planet.
I'm sure you've fished there plenty in your illustrious career.
Yeah, I have spent a lot of time. Actually, the first smallmouth bass I ever caught in my whole life was on Lake Leelanau. My dad took me up there when I was 7 years old on a family trip, and I've been going back, time and time and time again. We spend a lot of time vacationing in that region in the summer. It's just, for anybody who has never been to Traverse City, they are missing out. I brought a lot of friends and celebrities from around the country up there, and they're just amazed at just, you know, everything it has to offer and how beautiful the area is, you know, especially the water and how good the fishing is.
You were 7 years old. Was that the first fish you ever caught or the first smallmouth bass you ever caught?
The first smallmouth bass.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's it was a life-changing experience for me. It left a big, huge impression on me, and I'm still, to this day, I'm just infatuated with smallmouth bass. It's my favorite fish to catch, and that's my favorite place to do it.
Did you keep it? Did you toss it? Is it on a plaque somewhere, or did you eat it?
No, it was a 10-inch smallmouth bass, which at that time was legal, and we let that one go because it was just a 10-incher, but it was awesome. I mean, it pulled and jumped and fought so hard. I caught it on a Zepco 33 on a live nightcrawler at the time, and it just made such an impression on just how mean it was and how tenacious they are, what great fighters they are, and it's just I've been addicted to them ever since.
Kevin, we grew up on opposite sides of the southern part of the Lower Peninsula. You were over in Allegan County there in Otsego, I think, right? And I grew up on Anchor Bay, Lake St. Clair. And you mentioned
now, that is a pretty special area as well. So I call it
the Yankee Stadium of fishing. It's and talk about smallmouth bass, especially on the Canadian side. Pretty good fishing for that fish.
Oh, it's unbelievable. That's that's the one place in Michigan where we have national tournaments, just because it's physically big enough to hold a big event. You know, that's 7 days long, and actually I've got one coming up there in September. So I fish there lots and lots of times as well. It's another really special place. As far as tournament bodies of water go, it's the best smallmouth fishery on the planet as well. So we're pretty blessed in Michigan.
Kevin, tell our audience a little bit about how you became a professional fisherman. I guess the timeline was perfect. When you were younger, they decided to put together these bass fishing tournaments in the league, and then you've become the Michael Jordan of fishing. I'm sure that's not what you thought when you first hooked at that smallmouth bass when you were seven.
No, it isn't. But, you know, I got into tournament fishing just locally. I fished my first tournament with my older brother when I was 14. And, you know, we're a fishing family. You know, my brother still, he owns and runs DNR Sports Center down in Kalamazoo, which is a, you know, a really, really nice marine dealership and hunting, fishing, you know, everything. We really specialize in bass fishing down there though as well. And he got into tournaments before me, and you know, I fished my first one with him when I was 14, and we won some money and did well. And I just started working my way up the ladder. You know, I got in a bass club and started fishing that. And then I started fishing the Michigan State Federation tournaments. And, you know, just like a PGA Tour golfer has to, you know, you earn your tour card and you work your way up. It's really the same when fishing. And that's what I did. You know, I started fishing some national level events when I was 18, and I started full time on tour, I think, when I was 22. And, you know, the first year I won Angler of the Year, and, I started right out the gate pretty hot, and now I'm in my 31st year of fishing as a professional, and, still going strong. You know, I won an event earlier this year on the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour down at Lake Chickamauga. So, I think it's just something I'm passionate about that I love to do. And, you know, this partnership with Kubota, you know, they sponsor the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour as a league, and they're just great people. And I'm a big outdoorsman, and they came to me and asked me about this opportunity. And I said, heck yeah. You know, I'm a big outdoorsman. I got my second Kubota last year. I got a new one last year. After having one we have one Kubota that's still got it. It's a 27 year old tractor that, we have really put through the paces. And so when I got this new Kubota is when we really struck up this relationship and this idea came up, for this concept. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Kevin, you've been around long enough to see, how this sport has changed exponentially. What are some of the big changes you've seen, in this sport, the fisheries and so on, in recent years?
Well, no doubt that probably technology is the biggest, thing. And, you know, now we have so much better equipment across the board. You know, our lures are much more higher tech and really developed for certain species, to line, to rods, reels, to the boats, electronics, unbelievable, you know, leaps and bounds changes there to really help people be more successful, more efficient out on the water and have a better experience. And, you know, this past year with the COVID pandemic, I think it really made people step back and realize what they've been missing in life and time with family and especially outdoors, because fishing has just exploded. Really all outdoor sports have in the past year, but especially fishing. You know, I mean, I think we had, you know, 10 million new fishermen, last year and still another big year of growth this year, you know, license sales and because we have, you know, all this better technology and better equipment, and also there's so much more information out there. I mean, literally, if you don't know, and it's just like me, if I'm trying to fix something for my wife around the house, I can pick up my phone and, you know, Google it and watch a YouTube video on how to fix my refrigerator or anything. You know, it's the same with fishing. You know, you can learn how to tie a knot or rig a drop shot rig for smallmouth. And, you know, I've done lots and lots of those videos myself, educational videos for fans. And, it's something that, you know, that I think I'm pretty good at, and something that I take a lot of pride in when somebody comes to me and say, man, I watched one of your videos, or I read this article, or I saw one of the shows you did, and I went out and tried that technique or, you know, use this new lure that you were talking about. And, you know, my dad caught the biggest fish of his life, or my kid caught his first bass, or, you know, it's to me, it's really, really humbling to hear those kind of stories. And I just like to help people be more successful out there in the water. And, that's why we do it, you know. So it's that's why I say, I think it's not intimidating as it used to be to admit that you don't know everything. And again, you can learn so much, you know, with the technology just in your hand these days.
Kevin, you mentioned an internet is a good place to go to learn a lot of practical things about this sport. But for young people who are really seriously, intensely interested in trying to do what you've done, get into the sport and fish competitively, what kind of advice do you give them? Where can they go to learn more about this? Are there schools? Are there programs out there that people can look into to get involved in it?
Yeah, so what's really changed in the last handful of years as well is the advent of organized high school fishing team, bass fishing teams, yeah, bass fishing tournaments, and college at the collegiate level. I mean, college-wise, I mean, it's basically nationwide. There's, you know, most every college in Michigan has a bass fishing team now. There's, you know, different series that they fish around the state and around the country. So that part is really helped. I mean, because truly the best way to learn is to fish with as many different good anglers as you can. And on the high school or collegiate level, you fish with the other members on your team and you go to different bodies of water. And then, you know, especially in Michigan, we have real diverse fisheries, you know, from, you know, from natural lakes to the Great Lakes and a lot of rivers and things like that, to where, you know, you could just see a big diversity in experience.
Kevin, can you describe to our listeners what kind of mindset you take on? You know, you still fish recreationally, but you've got the big tournaments that you got, that you are successfully champions, Bass Fisherman of the Year, all the trophies that you've won. How different is the mindset when you get on a boat in a tournament as opposed to just going out with your boys?
Well, you know, it is. I mean, I'm in a tournament. It's, you know, 100% focus. You're trying to maximize your time, your efficiency, you know, making decisions. It's, you know, it's intense is probably the best word. And when I'm out just fishing for fun, we still are fairly competitive, and, you know, I really use that time, especially with my boys, to try to experiment and learn, you know, try new things, try different twists on, you know, certain techniques, or learning new bodies of water, and just, you know, experimenting with different settings on my electronics, and just, again, just that fun fishing time is not just fun fishing. I'm always using it to, you know, hopefully better myself when I'm in a competitive situation on tour.
Kevin, I'm interested in knowing this. Most of us working stiffs can't wait to get a minute to hop in the boat and go out and fish, or pull on some waders and drop a fly in the Osabo River and so on and relax. You fish for a living. What do you do in your downtime to relax a little bit?
Man, I go fishing.
Fish. You fish. I love it.
Now, we, as a family, one of the things we love to be on the water. You know, I told you I spend a lot of time up there in Traverse City. A handful of years ago, I got a pontoon boat for the first time, and I never was sure how much I'd like it. And, you know, it was a tri-tune, and you'll see that there's, you know, on the lakes now, there's lots and lots of these tri-tunes popping up, especially on big bodies of water. So,
yeah.
So we'll come up there and we'll go, you know, to Charlevoix, or we'll go out on the bay and spend the day out there. And, you know, my boys used to do a lot of tubing and wakeboarding and things like that. So we do a little bit of water sports. We do some swimming. And of course, we always got fishing rods there. So we do a little bit of fishing off the pontoon as well. And then in a lot of cases, we bring both boats. We'll bring the bass boat and the pontoon boat both. And we'll do a little bit of both. And, you know, we're pretty much an outdoor family as a whole. I mean, it's what we love to do and where we like to be. So we spend it up there. And it, like you say, it's just such a beautiful area. Traverse City's a real special place. You know, I mean, it looks like the Bahamas or the Keys and in a lot of areas, but with no sharks, no stingrays, no jellyfish. Maybe the summers are a little short, but man, when it's summer up there, it's pretty darn awesome place to be.
Kevin, Keith mentioned the Asabo River. Done much fly fishing?
Yeah, actually, as a kid, we grew up going up to the Baldwin area. And I spent a lot of time on the Little Manistee there. I've done a lot of salmon and trout fishing growing up, and I'm not great at it by any means, for sure, as far as fly fishing, but I do like the diversity of it. You know, that's one of the neat things for me as a being a professional bass angler. It's opened up a lot of opportunities to do a lot of other different types of fishing. You know, I've been down, I fly fish for redfish down in Venice, Louisiana before, and I've been down to the Keys, and you know, that's a bucket list deal for me, is to go to got down to the Keys and tarpon, catch tarpon with a fly. I've caught tarpon, but just I've not done it with a fly rod yet. And I'm gonna go back to Alaska and just focus on fly fishing there as well.
We just had to ask because the Asabo Fly Fishing Shop is right around the corner from us, and
I'm just saying, if he hooks a steelhead with a fly rod, he's gonna throw all his bass rods away.
I've caught a lot of steelhead on the fly.
Aren't they fun?
In school and in college, we used to do it, you know, every spring, all through the spring run, and then again in the fall for the salmon run. And you can catch a few steelhead in the fall, you know, that are following them up. But, no, I love steelhead fishing. It's definitely, I like steelhead fishing when they're in the smaller rivers and that. I love to sight fish. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do. And, you know, I've caught a lot of them that way. That'd be my favorite way to fish for them.
Kevin, we could probably do this all day long. You should do this for a living. Forget professional bass fishing. You could do a radio program every week. I'm sure it'd be really popular. We do want to mention that you have up until, I believe it's Saturday, to go to the Kubota website and register to win a trip to fish with Kevin Van Dam right here in Traverse City.
Yep. It's been a great promotion. I think a lot of people that are aware of the Kubota brand and just how reliable they are, and you know what a outdoors person that I am, you know, they would definitely, I would tell you this, if whoever wins that trip, we're going to have a really, really fun time. I love fishing up that area. It's something that, again, I've had a lot of experience up there, and it's going to be a real special trip.
There's no doubt in my mind that's the case. Kevin Van Dam representing Kubota. Go to a Kubota website. I believe it's Kubota.com. I'll put that information in after we nail this down. And get your registration in by Saturday. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
You bet, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
We'll be back after these words on Friday Face-Off, brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. All right, we are back here on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, Rich, what'd you think?
Nice interview, guys. That was great. Kevin Van Dam, well-spoken, very passionate about the sport of professional bass fishing, and you guys asked all the right questions. Also, how he loves Northern Michigan, loves the Traverse City area, and just can't wait to get back up here. And someone, lucky winner, is going to get a chance to fish with Kevin.
Yeah, the website is actually KubotaUSA.com.
Ah,
so,
good.
Because I know Keith will be...
he might just show up anyway.
Usually employees of the radio station are exempt from that.
But, it's not our promotion.
I'm going to give it a shot. Are you kidding me?
Well, we can stop paying you, and that way you wouldn't be an employee any longer. In fact, that's a great idea. I want to get Jake on the air from the Get Around Guys, but as we kind of clean up this week, what do you see from the Tigers? As I told you, they've got this string of games with the Orioles, and then they turn
it
around.
It gets serious.
Things get
serious. Back to the Red Sox.
Well, that's what we're looking forward to, right? I mean, they're 5 hours away from, or almost 5 hours away from the trade deadline right now. If they stand pat, you know, they're gonna win another game or two from Baltimore, the worst team in the American League here at Comerica Park. starting third game is tonight.
They're not very good.
But then you look at the schedule, and they get teams like Boston and Tampa coming up, and you know those are the best teams in the American League. Let's see how they do against them. It'll be a good measuring stick.
And what's really cool right now, Tigers are 10-4 since the All-Star break.
Yep.
Also, they have a 10-game winning streak at Comerica Park. If you needed another reason to go to Comerica Park, get down there, man. They are playing good baseball at home, and look, they're battling. They want to get above that 500 mark.
They're still having difficulties on the road. How about that game the other night? 17-14, win by a field goal.
Oh.
Yeah. How about this though?
Jake, you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Okay. Good. Well, no, go ahead. We're just talking Tiger baseball for a minute. Did you see the game last night?
Actually, I did not. I was busy watching the NBA draft last night.
We were just talking about that 17-14 game the other night. The Tigers give up 7 home runs.
Didn't hit any
themselves, and they win the game. First time in 105 years that's happened.
That's
absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I watched that game. You were hitting, they're hitting bombs and bombs, and all of a sudden it's 14-12. I was like, this is insane.
This is a slow pitch softball game.
Yeah.
We talked about them a couple weeks ago, I believe, and like this team is fun to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like Eric Haas hitting that home run, that grand slam in the top of the ninth, and coming back and winning. Like, this team has been fun to watch.
They may be a winner.
Yeah, I mean, they legitimately, Jake, have 3 Rookie of the Year candidates on that team with Casey Mize, Akil Baddoo, and now Eric Haas.
It's been crazy, and I don't know, fun fact, I actually went to high school with Eric Haas and played baseball with him.
Did you really?
Oh, very cool.
Yep. I caught beside Eric Haas. He actually taught me a lot that I knew. I was the only other catcher in high school with Divine Child with him. I was 1 year behind him. So I went to high school with Eric Haas. So seeing him succeed has just been absolutely awesome. Hitting those grand slams and, you know, playing with somebody like Miguel Cabrera and doing all that has been amazing to watch.
Jake, did you cross paths with Jordan Austerly too, who the Wings just signed?
No, I did not.
Okay. Another Dearborn Divine Child guy.
Yeah. But I was there right before Chris Russin, who played for the Cubs. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Yeah.
A couple other guys got drafted, came out of there. Miles Smith, he went over to Boston for a little while. But, yeah, it was really cool going there. And Eric Haas was just a stud. He won Mr. Baseball twice. Led to a couple state championships. I mean, an absolute stud.
What happened to your baseball career there, Jake?
He's a sports player.
My senior year, I tore my rotator cuff a week before my varsity baseball season.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So I played behind Eric Haas, never played varsity baseball because Eric started every game all 4 years of high school. And my senior year, I did all the bullpens a week before the season. I partially tore my rotator cuff and could not throw a baseball any longer.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
That's a shame.
I was looking to play college baseball and all that too, so it was a shame. But hey, that's what led me to sports writing and doing what I do now. Is I wanted to stay close to the sports, but I couldn't play them anymore.
Yeah. Still beats working for a living, right?
It does.
The Tigers got a couple more games with the Orioles here.
Yeah.
Then they got 3 with the Red Sox, 3 with the Indians, back to the Orioles. Thank you very much over there in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's pretty aggressive. It's the Indians, it's the Angels, it's the Blue Jays. They haven't played Tampa.
Right.
Where Nelson Cruz just went. So
right.
This is going to kind of tell the tale of if what the Tigers have they – stepped it up a notch or two,
right.
And of course, what happens between now and the trade deadline?
Yes,
exactly. We're hoping for an extension to Jonathan Scope, maybe a 2-year extension instead of possibly trading him, but we'll see.
Jake, what's local sports talking about?
I mean, we're still looking for it. I actually just got done talking to Asa Kelly over about the Iron Man. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar that they're going out to Frankfurt with that Ironman 70.3 this year. They're starting to finish up the tidbits on that and trying to figure out the exact course and how it's going to work out. And he told me it's going to be interesting out in Frankfurt. There's usually about 12,000 people who will be there. So they're going to descend on Frankfurt, which, you know, is a pretty small place.
12,000?
A couple of ways in and out. So it's going to be an interesting time for Ironman. Everything else right now, we're just getting popping and starting to get ready. August 9th is the big start date for all the high school sports. We're only about you know, 10, 11 days away from that. And we're going to have all our practice get started and get stuff popping. Now, a couple of things that we're working on over at the Record Eagle, we got our fall preview tab that's coming out near the end of August that it just, you know, we go in depth on all the different sports, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You know, coming into this season, when you look at some of the teams that are coming out and are getting ready to, you know, make poise. So make sure you look out for that here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we have some big news about local sports, and right here on Up North Sports Radio, our sports division will be covering the Traverse City West Titans football and basketball on 106.3 FM.
That's awesome.
So, okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, we made that arrangement with TCAPS a couple of days ago, and we're looking for broadcasters, Jake.
Well, you know, I have been covering Traverse City West football as my beat at the Record Eagle over the last few years, so I do know a thing or two about the Titans.
I'll have to pick your brain, but unfortunately, you're going to be leaving us soon.
Yes. Actually, today is my final day at the Traverse City Record Eagle.
Wow.
I'm going to be heading west to find new opportunities. It's been absolutely amazing, but I didn't want to get started into another school year and get going into the grind of a football season where I needed to get a move on. So now's the time, and I've appreciated you guys having me on and always having a good time here on the show.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's kind of a bummer from our standpoint, Jake. I mean, it's up in northern Michigan to find good, passionate people that follow sports like you do. It's a big loss for northern Michigan.
Well, I really appreciate that and those kind words. I think it's a loss for me leaving northern Michigan. I love this place. I came here almost 4 years ago, and I never thought I would fall in love with it so much. I'm a city boy from Detroit. And living out here in the beautiful place, they do call it God's country for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely gorgeous up here, and the people have been absolutely amazing. And I'll always remember my time here fondly. And, you know, I don't think anybody can stay away from northern Michigan for too long, so it's not like I won't be back.
Well, Vegas, when it's winter and, you know, making a trip in July and August to northern Michigan is never a bad idea.
Yeah, right? The perfect 75-degree... nice lakes. I don't need to be out in the 120-degree desert then, right?
Not unless you're at the pool at the Bellagio, my friend.
Yeah, exactly right. I better be getting the comp suites and all that, too.
Jake, we'll miss you. You've done a really good job serving readers in our region with your sports coverage, your podcast, the work you've been doing with us here on Up North Sports Radio. We're going to miss you, but good opportunities out west for you, I hope.
I really appreciate that, guys. Thank you so much. And I once again, thank you guys for all the opportunities you've given me on the show.
All right. Take care, Jake.
Bye, guys.
See you, bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's kind of sad.
It is sad. That's a big loss.
That guy. Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
No, he's got, like I told him, I think he's got a future in broadcasting.
No question.
And, you know, he's got a great voice. He's really good on the cuff. He knows his stuff.
He does. He's passionate. He's a good writer. And then, like you said, to be able to do it on the radio end as well, no, that kid's talented.
He's doing the right thing. I've mentored young journalists most of my career, the last 20 years or so, teaching and mentoring them.
Right.
He's got his degree. He's come to a smaller newspaper in Traverse City, not a great big newspaper, but he's got great experience.
Yeah.
Now he's moving up the ladder. I expect big things from this guy down the road. Big
things.
Well,
I've got his phone number, and I'm going to kind of keep tabs on it a little bit and see what happens. And I think the future looks bright for Jake.
No question about it.
Guys, did we get everything?
Well, it's hard to believe.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
look at this last week with the marathon and the drafts of the NBA, the NHL, the Major League Baseball trade deadline today.
It's just
well. Luckily, you and I will. We won't do sports at 3:30. Maybe we'll do it a little later on, just to make sure.
We should probably about 4:30, maybe, and talk about.
I got a busy
happened.
Show today.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do bet of the day at 3:30 myself, and then we'll see if we'll wait a little after 4 o'clock, and then have you on to do game on.
There's going to be a lot more baseball action today, whether the Tigers are involved or not. There's going to be some bombs going off
more.
Today.
Bryant's definitely
he's going to go.
Yep.
Like I said. The Giants have got to do something. There's still a few studs out there that are going to get moved.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Joey Votto moved out of the Cincinnati
Reds.
They're not going to win that division, and Votto's is caught fire here a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly, so. And look at the left-handed bats that the Yankees have had.
Shouldn't Votto wind up in New York? I mean, they've got Rizzo now, and Gallo, and Votto.
Why not?
It's just like all these guys from the Bronx are starting to play for the Bombers.
Short right field Porsche, why wouldn't you have these power hitters in your lineup?
No, I'm talking about actual Italian. Rizzo and...
Gallo and Votto.
And, you know, the Yankees fans have been Italian, since DiMaggio, those guys got to, you know, the Italian restaurants in Little Italy are going to be...
DiMaggio and Barra and Rizzuto. I mean, it was all great Italian ballplayers.
Most of the guys that I know that are Yankees fans here in Detroit, they're all Italian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it's pretty good. Dick Mazzalotti and the Finitaris and all these folks that.
That's great.
So, it's the trade deadline is far from done.
Right.
And Giants, get a couple of players.
They're going to
beat the hell out of the Dodgers. Because, I mean, you look at that Dodger lineup now. There's all-stars at every single position except for catcher.
I mean, Scherzer, if they get to the playoffs.
They get Danny Duffy, too.
Yeah. I mean, Scherzer will be... I mean, Kershaw might be their third starter in the playoffs.
Well, and Bauer could come back. I don't know.
Right.
Major League Base. Although I didn't see the pictures. You're the guy that has the Athletic, Keith.
Yeah.
I guess they had pictures in the Athletic of what that
girl
looked like.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Did you see the photo?
It's not a good situation for Kershaw.
Okay.
I didn't see how.
That's why they keep extending the.
That's right.
So obviously she got beat up pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a. It's serious business. Yeah.
Okay.
Baseball's doing the right thing by keeping them.
Sure.
Absolutely. I don't know what the explanation is. The same thing for the explanation. I heard this long talk about who's the quarterback from the Texans?
Oh, yeah. Deshaun Watson.
Watson. And, you know, they want to trade him. He wants to be traded.
Who wants him?
Well, it's one thing when it's one or two women. 22 women. The sports writer pointed out, and rightfully so, Keith, and you know this better than anybody, that professional athletes, they don't want a lot of different people massaging them or whatever. You have your trainer and you have your masseuse.
There's a trust issue here.
There is. And, you know, and most team masseuses are male. You know
that's correct. That's absolutely correct.
There's some guys that don't want to be touched by men. I prefer to be massaged by a woman. We had a team masseuse at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the staff was male. But there was a couple of women on there, and I've been getting body work done ever since. Rich,
absolutely.
And some guys don't mind being massaged by men or need that real hard work. But I'm not crazy about having guys massage me. But as an athlete, you don't go to 20 different women. This is definitely...
That's a huge red flag right away.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
Deshaun Watson might be a great quarterback, but he's not can't be that bright because they had an opportunity to just buy these girls off, and this story just would have went away. And he didn't.
Let's end on a high note. Kate Cunningham's coming to Detroit. Pistons are on a roll.
Did you see his beautiful little dog?
Oh, she was so cute. Yeah.
You know,
great family he comes from as well. And he gave total credit to them. You know, he said as much as where I'm at right now, I've got an A-plus family.
Most excitement since Grant Hill came to Detroit.
Yeah, a lot of people liken him a lot to Grant Hill. The same type of game.
Yep.
You know, can play a lot of different positions. Doesn't give up on the defensive end, likes to distribute the ball, will score when he needs to, except for Hill was never a big outside shooter, and Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, that's what Jay Billis said, too, is he's more developed in the shooting than what Grant Hill was coming up.
Only, what is he,
19 years old.
Yeah. He's to be with the Pistons a long time.
Here comes the motorcade.
Well, the Pistons have done very well when they draft, you know, Isaiah Thomas... Bob Lanier.
Big Bob Lanier.
You know, other than Darko, our really high draft picks are usually pretty good.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on Friday Face-Off. Thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sports booking. There's a lot of great prop bets that you can make at the sports book on the opening of the football season, and I'll talk about those on the bet of the day at 3:30 on Q100 on 106.3 FM, 94.5, and the original 100.3 here in Grayling. Have a great weekend.